two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
The other day, yesterday, we were greeted with sad news that we lost somebody. There's been a lot of people we lost this year, but losing Nikki Giovanni, I think, is one that a lot of people are feeling. Most of us know her for her work as a poet. Many of us know her as an activist, an educator. She was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, and brought attention to not just Appalachia, but Afro-Latcha is a Black cultural aspect to the Appalachians. And for many of us in hip hop, she's somebody who was a big bridge, you know, bridge that gap. Ego Tripping is the classic, her poem that she did in 72. And then we had the folks from Black Alicia's and others kind of redo it and have her voice in there. The work she did with Tupac, Rose That Grew From Concrete. She was a towering figure. And one person who I needed to get on the phone with and talk and share is Jessica Keir Moore, who's an iconic and legendary poet in her own right. And Jessica, I wanted to have you on because I know this year you and Nikki were traveling. Like, you were in Austin at a book festival and in Jersey and a few other places.
Yeah.
And, you know, early on, you shout her out in your poems. And, you know, there's always been this, like, man, you kind of have that Nikki Giovanni vibe. So y'all were peoples. And
sure.
I wanted to just, you know, as we honor her, I wanted to get some thoughts from somebody like you who were in those circles with her.
Yeah.
Got to know her, understood her work. You know, condolences because of the friendship you have with her. But what do you want to share with us this afternoon?
It's been a deep 24 hours. I got the call last night from Baba Hakeem Adebuti, and, you know, we just speaking about losing our elders. She's a big loss. Nikki Giovanni, you know, different than maybe some other poets. And also, and the reason why I relate to her in such a deep way also is because of the way that I became known as a poet after winning the Apollo, with a poem that called her name, you know, Assata Shakur, Bob Jordan, Nikki Giovanni, Angela Davis. These are the true symbols of liberty, because that stone-faced French woman ain't going to save us, the same folks who enslaved us, like that. Mm-hmm. I wrote that poem when I was like, I don't know, maybe 20 years old, you know what I mean? 20, 21, maybe. I was young. But the fire that's in my early work, especially when today, this morning, I took some time to look at the words on Fit In My Mouth, and I was like, okay, I mean, Nikki Giovanni's voice and influence is all in my early work, especially my early work. You know, when you're still finding your voice as a writer and poet, you're always, if you're a good poet, you're reading other poets, you're reading everything, and you're taking it in. But when I opened my mouth when I was around 19 or 20, like I said this on Instagram, like all the older Black ladies, you know, that was the first poet's name that came out of their mouth. They didn't say Maya Angelou, they said Nikki Giovanni. And I always find it interesting. I didn't understand it really until later. I mean, she looked like we same tribe, you know. She's like, she could have been like my mama, you know, tribally. And a friend of mine this morning said, have y'all done a DNA test? And I was like, you know, but it's a tribal thing. But her, it's the way that she stood up against the world, her defiance against white supremacy. Really stuck with me. Her voice, the voice of Bell Hooks, and Sonia Sanchez, you know, to this day, who's with us, amen. You know, those defiant Jane Cortez, you know, I've lost a lot of Black women poets, you know, Lucille Clifton, you know, who are defiant in the face of patriarchy, in the face of all the things that Black women take on. And we take on like everybody's everything, like every oppression, like we take on all of it. And we, and you, what the beauty of poetry is, you can take, and what Nikki did so beautifully, and so and her work was accessible, right? And I think that's why everyday folks, like, they might not have heard of other people, but everyday folks, like in Detroit, I remember being like, you sound like Nikki Giovanni, you know, because Ego Trippin', you know, really made an impact when it came out. And it wasn't necessarily folks that were in bookstores. And I know you'll appreciate the fact that, you know, we have to, like, let's, you know, shout out to her discography, you know, because it's so, like, right now I'm looking at Instagram, all these, you know, people playing her records, right? There's no spoken word Grammy for Nikki. You know, she ain't never got no Grammy, you know, but damn it, she didn't deserve one. And
Right. You know, the thing that stands out for me is you said her discography. That's one aspect. But I remember seeing her doing interviews on TV, like James Baldwin. You know, you see him on YouTube now,
classic.
Muhammad Ali.
The
You
Muhammad Ali.
know, she, yeah,
So
she, you know, Lena Horne. She
yeah.
was somebody who, you know, for some people, it's like, oh, she's a talk show host.
Well,
You know, so she had
she's
a
a
lot,
philosopher,
she
you
had a
know.
lot of, she had a lot of hats. When you were with her this summer,
Yeah.
what sort of things did you all talk about? What did you all share? You know, anything that stood out for you that you really are holding on to now?
Nikki talks a lot of shit, man. I love her, you know, because she's a shit talker, you know. And she actually, last time I saw her, I just saw her recently. She was at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, in conversation with our CEO, Neil Barclay. And I say our because the museum is our museum, Black for Black
Right.
Folks City. And she was feisty. And she was, you know, I love the way she dumped on Trump. You know, it was nice, you know, where she loved, like, you know, cracking jokes against this against hatred in this country, you know. But she was always slick with it, you know. Her wit is was not touchable, you know. I think, and that's why I think hip hop, you know, like, related to her, because she has, there's an edge to Nikki. Nikki isn't, like, nice. Nikki is cool. Like, there's a difference.
Right.
Like, she ain't warm and fuzzy, and she's more like your cool auntie that is going to talk straight, right to you, right
Right.
to your gut, into your heart. She's not gonna dance around the issue. I was with her Austin. We did the African American Book Festival out there, and of course she was like the big headliner, and it was amazing. I mean we've been around each other, I mean, countless times, and so it's always just hi, giving a hug, how you feeling, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. Sometimes a joke, and because her smiles, that's when I said, I even wrote this, you know, I really appreciated when she smiled around me, because I knew she didn't give those up easily. And she
Oh,
was,
wow.
yeah, and she wasn't a fake smiler. She wasn't just walking around smiling, because she know people taking her picture. And so this picture's her, she might not be looking happy or smiling like she, but when she was smiling, it took over her whole face. You know what I mean? Her smile was just infectious. And so, a funny thing that happened, I did a big show at New Jersey Performing Arts with Black Thought and Dead Prez and Yasiin Bey, and all of us were there, and a speech from Arrested Development. So, I mean, that's, I don't know how much time those brothers spend with her. That's probably, I'm guessing, maybe one of the last times they probably ever saw her. And we were the only women on the bill, interesting enough. It was all these brothers, all these MCs, and me and Nikki Giovanni. We were the only women. And they had a sharing a dressing room. And I saw it, looked, and I said, it said Jessica Kilmore and Nikki Giovanni. And I was like, yeah, she needs her own space. And so I took my things, and I was traveling. My friend, vocalist Apropos, was singing with me that night. And I moved my stuff kind of into his room. And then, you know, and then he needed some space. So then I brought my stuff back in, and I pushed all my stuff to the corner. I didn't want my stuff to get any, you know, she was traveling with her partner, and I didn't want to be in the way. And she came in and she saw me doing all this moving around, and she was like, no, you're fine. You're good. You can get dressed here. You can use the bathroom. Like, she was so laid back. And I gave her my copy of We Want Our Bodies Back that night, which was really dope, because always good just to, like, here, you know, still writing, here's my neck. I mean, she probably has all my books. I'm pretty sure I've given her all
Right.
of them. But her name is in that book as well. Her name is in all my books. At some point, there's a dedication to Nikki Giovanni.
Right. But she wrote her own books as well. She had a few
I know.
herself.
Well, yeah, I'm catching up. I think at least 16. I think there's 16.
Was it 16? Wow.
I don't have a bio in front of me, but it's at least that. I have pretty much all of them. One of my favorites is Hip Hop Speaks to Children, which I just
Yes, yes,
had a
yeah.
huge event with little girls. I'm doing this Detroit Poet Laureate thing, and I had this event, a tea with little girls, and Hip Hop Speaks to Children. When I've gone into hospitals or anytime I'm doing work with young people, that book has come to the rescue, and it's great. As poems by Gwendolyn Brooks and poems by Common, and she got Tribe Called Quest in there, so she's mixing she's that bridge that you're talking about to hip hop and how she loves
Right.
hip hop. Any real poet in the game, like for me, comes out of my generation. We're big Tupac fans, and so
Right.
I love Pac as well. Didn't get to know him in real life, but of course, love and admired his poetry, and I love and how you're talking about Nicki's interviews. I love Tupac talking in interviews more than I think I'd even like the music. I just like the way
Right.
he spoke, right? Because then you can really hear where a person's heart is at in a different way. And brothers tend to hide inside music and hip hop. When they're speaking their truth from their heart, it's a different conversation. So yeah, she saw and she did that for her friend Afeni Shakur. We know when mothers lose sons, it's not
Right.
a small thing. So yeah.
So she did that book. She did that book to kind of dedicate to Afeni.
Yes, absolutely. Well, she and the tattoo on her body, she got Thug Life
That's right.
tied on her stomach. That's very gangster. And so she's there. She was different. Like that's what I mean. She wasn't like it's funny. Like people have this idea of what poets are, and what I love about Nicki, and find a kinship with is that she was edgy. I'm from Detroit. Like she's sister. She's like Tennessee, she was in Knoxville, and then
Not.
in Ohio, right? In Cincinnati. And so, these are we Southern and Midwest type Black girls, you know what I mean? And we come from real places. And so, I'm not like I've never been like the head wrapped, conscious, the fit, whatever idea you think about. Some of the things I drink a lot of tea, but I'm from an edgy place, and the people that I want to talk to are my people that don't necessarily
Right.
going to poetry cafes and don't maybe not have a library like mine in my house. Those are the people, especially early on, I was trying to get to. And that was the people that I was in front of in Detroit because we didn't have no trendy little cute coffee houses with lattes.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was doing poems at hair shows and things like that. And so I don't know. It's like a surreal experience. I've been crying a lot and overwhelmed by the loss of her, because we have lost so many and don't have many
Right.
left from that generation that really moved the needle, not just in poetry, but in academia. And these are educators,
Oh,
scholars,
that's right. We haven't even talked about the work. And
the
it's
work.
interesting because she taught it, I think, at one point at Penn. She definitely was a mainstay from 87 on up to in Virginia Tech.
Oh yeah, she's in
And
Virginia
then,
Tech.
thinking, Sonia Sanchez, of course, at SF State and the teacher, and you yourself have been in these classrooms teaching
Oh
as well. Let me just ask you this. So I know you, Jessica, care more that you have mentored and helped people get their voices. Did you ever have a conversation? Did Nikki ever sit you down and give you like a critique of your poem or help you with your writing or share some things like, maybe if you move to the left or to the right, did you all ever
ah.
have conversations about your work where she laced you with some game?
Absolutely not. No. No. I think
Really? She was she
no. She wasn't really a sit you down person. I wasn't a student in her classroom. I was her student in the world. And it's a
right.
different kind of relationship. So people started when I won the Apollo in 1995, I started touring. And people from the older generation saw a liking, they saw a connection between me and Nikki. And I was constantly put on intergenerational shows with her. Like I've been reading with her since I was 23 years old. And so,
Right.
and I don't know if she even knew who I was. How many readings did she do? And there's some young poet opening for her, right?
Right.
It took about, I did that for like a strong decade, baby. Like, where I was like, Nikki, we know each other, right? Because she had seen me countless times, but it took And then I said this, like, she made me earn it, you know,
Oh,
like,
wow.
yeah, it wasn't like she was like, oh, you're a fence, you're the next and you're great. She was like, she's Nikki Giovanni, you know what I mean? She was like, I see you, little sister, but it wasn't it
Oh,
was
so you had to earn that seat at the big kids table.
Are you kidding me? And it took a minute, like, because I did a lot of readings with Nikki Giovanni over the years, and it was fine. I got a little bit older, and then she got them. She met my son, King, and we spent some time together. Furious Flower. She was messing with King a lot, and it was really nice. And King gave her I signed a book, and she bought my book from my son, and he was working at my book table, and you know,
Right.
and then we got to know each other through style. And I actually went on Sway in the morning after there's an interview where Sway was talking to Nikki Giovanni, and he called poets to ask questions. And that we had this thing with looking fly, you know, and so it became a thing where I was like, oh, I see them boots, Nikki. So I gotta find this picture. We got a picture. We both pulling up our boots. We have both having like some fly cowgirl boots, and she'll wear like a fly hat sometimes, and you always got a sweet jacket on. I was really interested in asking her about style, how you dress for the poem. And she was like, you know, and she said it was important to her that she, when she showed up, that she looked a certain way, that she looked nice and stylish. And so, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, she was like your cool auntie. She wasn't like your mama that you curl up next to and cuddle and talk about your poems.
Right.
Just a different. And I'm close to her and Sonia. I'm very, as you know, like Sonia, very, very close friend of mine, and a different relationship I have with Sonia, right?
Right. What do you know how their relationship was? How they rolled together? Did they collaborate on a lot of things? 'Cause they were both,
Yeah,
you
icons.
know, I well, icons, but also pillars in the Black arts movement.
Absolutely. And both connected. There were years when I had never seen them in the same room. And I remember the first time I did, it was at Spelman College. And they were doing a conversation with Nikki Giovanni and Sonia Sanchez. And it was in the early 2000s. And I was sitting in the front, like, I was waiting for this moment. And it was the exchange was quite beautiful because I was waiting to see. I've ne never seen them in the same room, and I knew they came from the same generation. It's like me and Ursula Rucker not being in the same room, you know, or
Right.
but yeah, come on. Like, you know, at some point me and Ursula just had to know each other, and that's my sister. But everybody isn't your, I don't think they didn't come off as best friends. They came off as allies and
Right.
and not collaborators and like writing a book together, but they had the same purpose, which was freedom for Black people, freedom
Right.
Black people in common. But I think just Nikki came in to, you know, came in Black Lives Matter, and she, I think, became accelerated and a much famous, more famous than some of the other poets in a different kind of way. So I think that just changes relationships and things. But I also got to saw them. I have a beautiful photo of us together with me, Baba Haki, Joanne Gavin, Sonia, and Nikki together at Furious Flower, which is a amazing thing that happens. I just did it at James Madison University. It happens every 10 years. So we lose people because it only happens every 10 years. So some of our elders
Right.
away. But they did a conversation. I have photos with Sonia and Nikki on stage together. And so because people were curious about that, right? About those two iconic Black women who came up in this movement, but not seeing a lot of them at the same room. When we did see them, it was love. It was love.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I
We're
don't know if
talking with
you're
Je
overseas, though, you
we're
know.
talking with Jessica we're talking with Jessica Keir Moore, poet laureate herself out of Detroit. Good friends with Nikki Giovanni as we are honoring her today. Jessica, there's another iconic figure, and you tell me if I'm in the ballpark or not. But when you say Nikki Giovanni, I think of another person. For some reason, they come in my mind at the same time. I don't know if it's because they both had afros or whatever, but Bette Davis.
Oh,
Did
interesting.
they ever? Oh, so
Okay,
would you, for some reason, just because they just seem to have a vibe, but
yeah.
you know them best, I mean.
I don't know. That's interesting. I mean, these are all defiant Black women who I would say were, you know, can be considered before their time, or as Bette Davis would say, were moving time. And so, and they made their, I don't think it's an out of the box connection, because these women were women who weren't told that they can be who they became. But oh, did they exist? And so they existed because they said they were going to exist, not because someone gave it to them, right? I also would say, if you're talking about Davises, I think of Angela Davis when I think of Nikki Giovanni too. I think of
Right.
that level of activism. Betty Davis, an activist in her own right in the world of music, and the way that she broke down, doors and barriers for other women to come after her. And Nikki Giovanni
Right.
did the same thing. Like, there's not one Black girl poet online right now, or who's writing poetry, who doesn't say, "At my foundation, Nikki Giovanni is there." And I would add Alice Walker to that as well, and Sonia Sanchez, right? And Jane. There's a litany of us, and there's a whole list. And so, but I would Nikki, no matter what, you can't. She's undeniable in that space. And I was, and Betty Davis is undeniable in her own space. I have no idea if they knew each other. I have no idea.
Right. Yeah, I had to mention that for people who don't know, one of the things that Jessica puts together, Black Women Rock, and you all have,
Twenty
daughters
years.
of Betty. 20 years. So that's why it just came to mind, but I think the key word is defiant and transformative. And as you said, they existed in spite of, ain't nobody open the doors and say, well, we're giving you permission. They took their seats at the table and you just had to deal with that. Is there a favorite poem that you had from her? Anything that stood out for you?
I have so many. I have her recent book that's in front of me, Make Me Rain, Poems and Prose by Nikki Giovanni. I enjoy her prose because I later in her in the last, I'm gonna say in the last 5 years, strong, 5 to 8 years where I've been around her and doing readings with her, she does a lot of prose and she tells a lot of stories between her poems.
Right.
But I love when she just, coming for the jugular, for these crazy people that are on the world. But I into her fascination with Mars. I hope everyone saw her documentary, Going to Mars. It's really beautiful. And I actually got to open up Sundance Film Festival. I was there, and the producers of the film, the doc that's on her life, found out I was there, and I actually got to do perform at the post party for the film. I was
Oh,
there
wow.
with Saul Williams, and I got Amir Suleiman to read a poem too. I asked, permission for that, and it was a real beautiful moment for all of us to be.
Okay,
I
so what was the name of the documentary for those of us who don't know?
believe it's Going to Mars.
Okay.
She talked about Mars a lot. I love her pieces about Mars, and she was fascinated with space. And
Right. So she's an Afrofuturist too.
yeah, I believe that's where she is. Like
Yeah.
if I say, "Where is Nikki Giovanni?" I know that she's on Mars, and then we can only hope to be so lucky. And I saw someone else post that, you left. I think it was Lanae Denise, musicologist and genius, said,
Right.
you left at the perfect time, because there's so much happening in this country right now where it makes you just really question. It feels like we're in the twilight zone, and that we're digging ourselves, and I'm not saying we, but they are digging themselves, and America is eating itself right now, eating the great thing that America could possibly be lies in the wellness and freedom of Black people. So if you're trying to put Black people's stories, erase them from history, if you're trying to put us back in chains, if you're allowing our sons and our daughters to be killed by police with no reckoning for their own lives and for their freedom, if that's what you're doing, then America is going to disappear because America is nothing without us. America is nothing without the bravery, fearlessness, the survival, the ethic, the thing, all the things, and the free labor that we gave on top of everything to build the economy that exists now, that was built on our backs, on Black women's backs and Black men's backs and our children. If that's what you're doing, you're destroying the very thing, that could be something great. If only you would just bow down and recognize why the country is
Yeah.
great. And so, yeah, I mean, hopefully we all get to go to Mars one day,
Right. And maybe she's there
I believe.
and resurrecting something to look out for us.
Yeah, yeah.
If we call up on the ancestors, that's a very powerful ancestor,
Listen,
to call up on.
you want me to read one of her poems?
You know what? That would be great.
Let me do it.
That would
Okay.
absolutely be great. Thank you.
Let's do it. Let's do it. This is called Life on Mars. Maybe I ask stupid questions or make dumb observations. Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing, but I wish there was a softer voice to answer me. But if I buy more peppermint or love more leftover fudge or love more leftover fudge, would it make a difference? I brush my teeth, I smile, but there's always this frown. Daddy went away, mommy works all the time. Nobody makes it all right. I think I'll run away with the ants and live on Mars. You know. Oh, wait, I'm going to read this one too. I am your sweatshirt. It's a cute, I love these. These are like love poems. It was snowing, or maybe that was just a hard rain. It sure was cold, and all I wanted was a fireplace and maybe just one glass of good red wine. I wanted the sun to give me warmth, but the moon was so beautiful, and that northern star was leading my heart astray. I thought a pot of pinto beans and a couple of cornbread muffins. I was going to shower because I wanted to curl my hair. My nails needed painting. And there was really just one thing to make it all right. You. If I could be a sweatshirt, I could cuddle over you and watch a good football game. Sweatshirts are hard workers. Yeah, man. I loved her love poems.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Is that out of the book, Make It Rain?
Yeah, it's Make Me Rain.
Make Me Rain, sorry. Make Me Rain.
It's super sexy. It's like, make me rain. Turn me into a snowflake. Let me rest on your tongue. Make me a piece of ice so I could cool you. Let me be the cloud that embraces you or the quilt that gets you dry. Snuggle close. Listen to me sing on the windowsill. Make me rain on you. Come on, Nikki Giovanni. Like, just
wow.
Amazing and great. Like, with having as much her bibliography is crazy. To be so deeply published, but to be getting better. Like, this book is amazing. And it's like, I think this is
right.
I have her current, no, I have all her books, but the anthologies are great. Make Me Rain book, she got better.
Yeah, from the outside looking in, it seemed like she didn't miss a step, but you having, you know, having spent, you know, time this past year at these different festivals with her, she didn't miss a step, huh? She was sharp as ever.
Sharp as hell. Someone just said she was just doing something last week. I mean, you know, you couldn't really.
Right.
I think it's with poets, and I've said, talk to my Baba Abiodun Oyewole from The Last Poets. You know, I've been watching my teachers get older, and it's hard, right? You know, because you want them to, you know, we think naturally as younger people to, you know, sit down. You know, you need to take a rest. You know, people say it to me all the time, and I think it's ridiculous, you know, because what is she supposed to do? Go sit in a rocking chair and be old or something? You know, like, that's not what she's going to do. And she's a firecracker. Her mind, it wasn't her mind, it was her lungs. You know, she's been fighting cancer. Those of us who know her and know that she's been fighting cancer for several years now. So it's not new information. We're excited that we had her for 81 amazing years. We always wish for more. But, you know, Kwame Alexander, who, you know, he called me from her house last night. Kwame, who's like a son to her, you know, who's a, you know, best-selling author. And I've known Kwame for my entire career. And we're both just young poets. And he was had a publishing house and gave me pointers on becoming a publisher. And yeah, absolutely. Kwame Alexander and Hakeem Adebutu were a part of that, my learning. So I have lots of teachers, but they're very, very close. And she talked about him all the time. I joked. I was like, that was your boyfriend. Kwame, you know, just kidding. But like, they were like son and mother, you know. And he said she was like, you know, fighting. She didn't want to be kept alive, you know, like, you know, and she was ready. Wow. Yeah, and so and that's her all day, the feistiness, the choosing how she goes. You know what I mean? I think that's important too. Like, you decide how she decided how she lived and how she wanted to die. And I think she's been known to smoke a cigar, you know. And so, you know, you look at those that interview with her and James Baldwin, they, you know, they puffing out cigarettes better than Chappelle, you know. And so you know, it's because, you know, everybody isn't a vegetarian and eats tofu and drinks juices. You know what I mean? Some of us chain smoke, right? And, you know, might need some marijuana every once in a while or a nice glass of wine. Like, you know, everybody got their fix, man. This world is a heavy one. And if you could find some love in it and find some way to take a thing called poems and look what she's done. I mean, if you look around the internet right now, like the people that I didn't even know who they knew Nikki Giovanni existed. I'm like, oh, y'all know Nikki Giovanni? Okay, welcome to
Well,
poetry.
she transcends, and that's what I said. I think she had a lot of tentacles, and people know her for different things, you know, and the enormity of what she's done is still something that I think even somebody like you might be learning. You know, I know I am. I'm sitting up there like, I didn't know she did that. Oh, wow. I didn't know she did that. I didn't know she did that. And it's just amazing, but it's also a bar. It's also a bar and an inspiration for us to be like, you know, you can grind and really hit those heights. And I think what stands out for me is she always brought her A game to the table.
Oh,
You know,
yes.
there was never a B or C game. It was like, if you was in, well, you said it. You had to be excellent. Took you 10 years before she was
And I'm
like,
being nice
all
with them 10. It might have been
right.
long. Listen, I still, felt like I
And
was.
you're nice with your poems.
I'm
It's
pretty nice
like,
with it.
yeah,
I'm pretty nice
you're
with
nice
it.
with it. I'm like,
She know I'm
man.
nice with it. You know what I'm saying? She know I'm nice with it. But it took a minute because I was in my 20s. Mind you, I'm in my 20s. Mind you, I look at young girls now, poets now who I hear, and people are like, oh, this poet's great. And I hear them and they're in their 20s. And I'm like, yeah, she good. She all right. You know what I mean? I'm not, it
Yeah.
doesn't, she ain't got me blown. I haven't been blown away by anybody, 30 years younger than me yet. Let me just say that. Like the best poets
Right.
I know are definitely poets that came out of my generation of poets, like the poets that came out of the hip hop generation poets.
Well, you gotta, it's seasoning.
It's
Got it?
seasoned
It's like, it takes some wine. It's like wine. It ain't, you just don't spit it out like that.
it takes a minute, man, and it's and I'm and I broke down on NPR this morning on our NPR affiliate WDET because because people have connected me to her for such a long time. And now they're like, oh, Jessica, but you're passing the baton, or we hear her in you. And I just broke because I'm like, I don't know if I'm good enough. Like, I'm still questioning, I mean, how many books in? I'm five, six. My sixth book is coming. I'm seven. I'm about to
Right.
have my sixth book. So I'm coming. You know what I mean? But until I have that, those 15, 20 books and that, I mean, and I and something I learned today was I need to record more. I need to record all the time. And so I'm so happy to hear so many different songs on her different records. And I'm like, I just started recording. I mean, I recorded with Nas in 99. I recorded on other rappers, but recording
Right.
my own work and my own and I need to do it more. I have now just two full albums. Like Talib Kweli put out Black Tea, which is my favorite record that I've done. And then my second favorite being We Are Scorpio, which is the punk rock poetry
Yeah.
record. So I but even just recording my voice more, me without
Right.
music. I'm gonna go in the studio and make sure that it's there so that people can hear
Right.
my voice because God, we have her voice. And
Yeah.
that it's priceless to be able to listen to her. So
No doubt. Jessica Caremore, we appreciate you taking time out. I know it's not an easy thing, but thank you for making time. How can people follow you?
I'm on Instagram for now until they decide that I can't be anymore. We don't own any of these platforms. So
Right.
jessicacaremore.org is my website. But Jessica Caremore, JessicaCaremoor on Instagram. I'm on Facebook a little bit, but they block me.
Yeah.
So Instagram is kind of the place. And and please go to my website. And people, you can email me directly from my website. So people want to talk to me directly, they can get to me through my own platform.
There you have it, Jessica. We appreciate you. We're going to take a break.
Love you, Casey.
We'll be right back.
Who's that dancing to the lady? I'm your host, Akua Holt. Society has often looked to poets to provide an alternative perspective on the events and occurrences impacting our lives. In celebrating the power of women, we turn to an icon in the cultural world of poetry, Nikki Giovanni, known as the poet of the Black Revolution for her writings in the 1960s and 70s. Her contemporary work includes the groundbreaking anthology Marvel's Black Panther Story, Tales of Wakanda, and her latest book of poetry, Make Me Rain, Poems and Prose. Miss Giovanni is the recipient of an American Book Award, the Langston Hughes Medal, 7 NAACP Image Awards, and is one of Oprah's 25 Living Legends. She has been nominated for a Grammy for her album, the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection. These are just a few of her accomplishments and honors. She's currently the University Distinguished Professor at Virginia Tech. Here's Nikki Giovanni in conversation with Verna Avery Brown, host and executive producer of WPFW's What's at Stake.
Professor Giovanni, there was a really powerful movement that was born out of the death of George Floyd. Millions of people of all races worldwide reacted to the death of this unarmed Black man, murdered basically in front of our eyes by a callous racist cop while others stood by and just let it happen. What, Professor Giovanni, do you think occurred in that incident that led so many people to become, as Dick Gregory said, woke, white people and Black people, for that matter? What do you think happened in that moment?
I think Black Lives Matter is one of the most important issues, one of the most important groups. And those young women who started this group before that, their organization, they're pulling things together because this was global. I was so proud to be a Black woman. I'm sure that the mothers of these young women were so proud to say my daughter had something to do with making sure that the world knows this will not happen again. When Emmett Till, which was a horrible thing, and I remember Emmett Till, I didn't know them, of course, but when Emmett Till was murdered, people were upset, but we didn't get that reaction. And somebody said, now this is too much. And I was looking at television, of course, and I saw Perth, Australia, and I won't get over that. There was a movement in Perth, Australia. People were walking in the street, walking with us, and us being Black Americans. Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And I thought that they had shown the world. We had to be very proud of them because they are saying to everybody, we are living on planet Earth. And I think that it's time that we recognize, as we should, race is a construct. It's time we let it go. It's time mm-hmm. that race went out because we are here. We are in space. We have the opportunity. We have civilians now going into space. And it's time that we recognize that we are all Earthlings. And it's a term that needs to come in, as we need to get rid of the term white supremacy. There's nothing supreme about being white. All we know, the only thing about being white is that you have to be taught to hate. That's the only thing that you've learned. We need to get rid of that, and we need to come into, we are Earthlings. We are all here on this Earth, on this blue ball in space. And it's something we need to teach our children, and it's something we need to teach each other.
Eliminate that phrase, white supremacist, for starters, is what you're saying, Professor.
Oh, yeah, it has to go. What's supreme about saying, I'll never forget Mrs. Parks, I paid a dime, got on the bus, walked around to the back, because that was during the age of segregation, and sat down. And then a white man who paid the same dime got on the bus and walked around to the front, but there was no what was called a white seat. Well, the seats weren't white or black. The seats were there. But I've often wondered, what did he think? I'm superior. I'm better. You paid the same dime. Did your dime change you? What happened there? Somebody tried to make that fool feel like you're better than she is. But she said no. And in that way that Mrs. Parks had, she said, no, I'm not moving. And so everybody wants, oh, she was tired. Her feet were tired. No, her heart and her soul were tired. She said, no.
I often thought in the George Floyd situation, the fact that he called out for his mama may have struck a particular chord in individuals. I heard Cicely Tyson recently talking about how she had spoken to a white gentleman who said when he heard the young black man call his father daddy, then it shifted something in him. His consciousness sort of shifted. So I'm wondering if they heard a black man calling out for his mama actually struck a chord within them and shifted their consciousness, that we all have a mama. We all have a daddy.
That I cannot answer you. I just know that most of us, when we are dying, do call for our mothers, particularly because we came to Earth with our mothers. We were in our mothers and we were born, and we're going to go out calling our mothers. I don't know what anybody thinks about that, but I was laughing with my class about that. I said, you know, the one thing that our mothers taught us when we were in her, that one thing everybody on Earth has in common is that we all came to Earth through a woman. Mm-hmm. And our mothers would sing songs to us, and our mothers would touch that space where you are and would sing to us. And that's one of the reasons that we all love music. We all come out somehow hearing music because our mothers sang to us. I'm so proud of Black Lives Matter. I'm so proud that the women are not finally, because the women have always been a part of it, but the women are saying, this has to stop. I cannot be a part of this. It has to stop. Women are doing a wonderful job.
Black women have literally been phenomenal in this year of 2021 and throughout history for that matter. I want to circle back around, Nikki Giovanni, to your political consciousness. History has been made in the election of Kamala Harris as the first Black woman elected vice president of the U.S. Black women have paid the price for Kamala Harris to hold that office of vice president. They fought and suffered for voting rights throughout history. And while there were many unsung heroes, the name of Fannie Lou Hamer stands out. In this clip, Ms. Hamer spoke publicly of the suffering she personally endured in the fight for Blacks to vote. Let's give it a listen.
I had been to a voter registration workshop, you know, they were just training and teaching us how to register to pass the literacy test. And it was giving us enough training that we could tell other people, you know, how to pass the literacy test. So we had attended a workshop from the 3rd of June through the 8th. We finished the workshop on the 8th, and then we got the Continental Trailway bus to come back to Mississippi. And we got to Winona, Mississippi, I would say about 10:30 that Sunday morning on our way back to Greenwood. And that was, we had got in 25 miles of the voter registration headquarters. And the bus stopped in Winona, you know, at the bus terminal. And four people got off of the bus, you know, to use the restaurant to get food, and two people got off, used the washroom while I was still on the bus. When I looked through the glass, I saw the people rush out, and one of the girls what had gone in the washroom, she just got back on the bus, and I stepped off to see what had happened. And Miss Ponder told me that it was a state highway patrolman and a chief of police on the inside, and began to tap them on the shoulders with billy clubs and ordered them to get out. And I said, well, this is Mississippi. So I got back on the bus, and as soon as I was seated, I saw them when they began to put the five people, what was, you know, off the bus, but they wasn't over 6 feet from the bus, began to put them in the highway patrolman's car. And I stepped off again because I was holding one of the lady's urns, you know, that they was arresting. And she said, get back on the bus, Miss Hamer. And then I heard somebody scream from the car that she was in and said, get that one there. And then a white man stepped out of a car and told me I was under arrest. And when he opened the door and I went to get in the car, he kicked me. And they carried me on down to the county jail where they had the other highway patrolman had carried the other five. And they, you know, when I walked in with the two white men that had carried me down, and they cursed me all the way down. They would ask me questions, and when I would try to answer, they would tell me to hush. And when I walked inside of the booking room, one of the policemen went over and jumped up on one of the Negro's feet that was with us, and then they just began to, you know, put us in cells. And I was put in a cell with Miss Yvester Simpson. And after I was put in this cell, I could just hear some horrible screams and horrible sounds, you know, of licks. And I saw one of the girls was 15 years old, was with us. When she passed my cell, and she was real bloody. And then they asked the little man that cleaned up the jail to go inside and mop up that blood. And then I heard some more screaming, and I heard some awful sounds. And I would hear somebody when they say, can't you say yes, sir, nigger? Can't you say yes, sir? And they would call her names that I wouldn't want to go on tape. And she said, yes, I can say yes, sir. So I said, and she said, I don't know you well enough. And I would hear when she would hit the floor again. And finally she began to pray, and she asked God to have mercy on these people because they didn't know what they was doing. And after a while, they passed my cell door with this young woman, Miss Annelle Ponder, and one of her eyes looked like blood, and her hair was standing up on her head, and her clothes had been torn from the shoulder down to the waist. And then three white men came to my cell, and one of them was a state highway patrolman because he was wearing a little silver plate across his pocket that said John L. Bassinger. And he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from Ruleville, and he said, I'm gonna check that. And he went out, and I guess he called Ruleville, and they didn't like me in Ruleville because I worked with voter registration there. And when he came back, he said, you damn right, just say you're from Ruleville, all right, and we gonna make you wish you was dead. And they led me out of that cell into another cell. And he gave a Negro prisoner a blackjack, and he ordered me to lay down on a bunk bed. And a Negro prisoner said, do you want me to beat her with this, sir? And he said, you're right, because if you don't, you know what I'll do for you.
Nikki Giovanni, you've heard that before. Your thoughts, your reaction?
Until there's nothing living in me, I will vote because of that beating that Ms. Hamer took to try to make people like me, to try to make Black people vote.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just an incredibly, it's too sad. I mean, the whole story, you know, Lyndon Johnson, they had gone because she had formed the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. And what she wanted was them to be seated. And Lyndon Johnson tried to negotiate, tried to say, well, you know, we can give you two seats. And she said, and I remember that, we didn't come here for no two seats. And going back to Mississippi, this was going to happen, and it did. It's just an incredibly, it's not even, it's sad is not even a word.
Well, you produced an ad encouraging Blacks to vote in the recent election. Is this a moment where we can exhale and celebrate that Democrats now have control of the White House, the Congress, and a very fragile majority in the Senate?
Let us ha, hey, hey, ho, 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 hard knock radio, east, west, north, south, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs. One love, we know where y'all at. Hot Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping hard knock radio. Brown Buffalo, rah, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side.
Thank you.